Welcome to this latest episode from Union Solidarity International. Today we are talking to the very esteemed and very knowledgeable and high profile Kostas Lapavitsis, who's going to give us his analysis on the current situation, particularly within Greece and in the Eurozone. Kostas, it's an absolute delight to have you with us today, my friend. And I understand that you've just been back home in Thessaloniki at the weekend. Tell me, Kostas, what is the current situation in Greece from your perspective?
First of all, the pleasure is all mine. Thanks very much for the invitation. I was in Thessaloniki. I was also in Athens for a couple of weeks. So I've had the opportunity to see things from close quarters. I also did some public speaking there, and I met a lot of people. I can tell you that the situation in economic and social terms is going from bad to worse. It's very evident. You can see signs of profound economic and social crisis wherever you turn. Unemployment is going through the roof. You see signs of extreme poverty, homelessness, inability of people to meet their food needs, and so on. It's apparent. There are elements of a humanitarian crisis in the large urban center emerging daily. So that's very bad. In terms of the political developments and so on, the government, three-party government in power at the moment, is foursquare for the Troika program. It's applying the measures of austerity, liberalization and privatization across the board. And it is doing so in an increasingly authoritarian, conservative, and aggressive way. Among the people, you see an element of hopelessness, helplessness, and profound anger. There's a sense of anger piling up everywhere that's not being expressed openly or confidently any longer.
Thanks very much, Kostas, for that introductory comments. I'm fascinated, Kostas, by what has been described in other places as a paralysis of the political situation. I don't know if it is a paralysis, because there seems to be an agenda that is being driven. I don't know what is paralysed about that. And in Greece, how do we break out of the three parties that are in government who are wedded to the Troika's programme? What is the political situation that can, and the dynamics that can help break away from this continual downward spiral? Because it's very difficult to see how a party that is opposed to austerity, and of course we're not talking about the Nazis and Golden Dawn, but a party that is against austerity that can actually come and make legislative moves to break the downward spiral?
Technically, or I mean, in a narrow sense, of course, if a party was of this type was elected to power, it would have ample opportunity to bring in all sorts of measures and enact them and begin to turn the situation around. It is perfectly feasible. The real question is, what will bring this about?
Yes.
Now, things, as I mentioned, you have become worse and worse, unfortunately, the last few months. There's an element of hopelessness and frustration among people. I see two factors that could potentially change the situation at the moment. Domestically, what might change the situation would be simply a blind explosion. Unfortunately, we're heading that way.
Yeah.
Now, a blind explosion can never be predicted. I can't tell you when it might happen, but I can tell you that the elements that make for it are there. The situation is simply incendiary in Athens and elsewhere. I can't tell you, I repeat, when it might happen, but the elements that make for it are definitely present, and it could well be blind, as I said, it could well be mindless, it could well be simply anger venting itself left, right, and centre. So that would probably change the political situation if it happened.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in a positive way, but it would certainly change the political situation. The other thing that might change the political situation in Greece would be external pressure, external events, such as what happened in Italy. If this kind of political earthquake occurred elsewhere, and if it became bigger and bigger elsewhere in the Eurozone, then Greece would also be dragged along. That is also possible because the situation in Europe is becoming untenable by the day. Austerity doesn't work. The people of Europe are not really ready to put up with it for much longer. Something is going to happen. Everybody knows that something is going to happen in Europe. Now that might drag Greece along. Essentially, then, what I'm telling you is that there is a sense of political immobility in Greece. The political parties seem to have exhausted their dynamism, and they're waiting for something to happen, either in society, blind and angry, or outside, that will also drag Greece along.
Okay, thanks for that fascinating analysis. I mean, Greece has been compared to the beginning of the end of the Weimar Republic. I'm sure you've probably seen some of the writings by Paul Mason and other people. Is the situation, in your opinion, Kostas, as volatile as the beginning of the end of the Weimar Republic? Is Greece entering a social situation because of the economic collapse and the social collapse in that country? Is it fair and accurate to say that we are at the beginning of the end of the Weimar Republic? There are similar conditions.
You know, historical analogies are dangerous and strange things, right? How far back do you go, and what do you use to create an analogy? And in any case, history never repeats itself in exactly the same way. So we start with that. Now, is the Weimar Republic the right analogy? Well, maybe in Greece, and I'll come to it in a minute. But when you look at Europe more generally, I think the analogy that I would find most useful is actually before, earlier than that. It would be in the middle of the 19th century. It would be the 1848 revolutions.
Yeah.
When Europe suddenly ignited, there were political revolutions across the board, political regimes changed, and one country affected another, and the whole of Europe was transformed. I think that's what it looks like to me. I repeat, a political revolution. I don't think the peoples of Europe are ready for a social or an economic revolution. Let me put it that way. I don't see the forces that are confident for this, that are pushing for it, that have got a plan for it. But I do see enormous political anger accumulating and present across Europe, including in Britain. Britain is not any different in that respect. There's a sense of detachment of the ruling elite, that these people are imposing austerity, they're imposing old-fashioned and bankrupt measures of privatization, liberalization, the market, and so on. And people are not prepared to accept that. And the response tends to be political rejection. If you look at the Italian outcome, that's basically what it is, that the Italians have rejected the political regime, they've rejected the euro and everything it stands for, if it destroys their livelihood, and they're prepared to say, out with the old politics, we need new politics. Now, the economic and social content of that is not that clear, but the political content is very clear, and I think you find that across Europe, that the Spaniards, the British,
the Portuguese,
you know, they want political change. And, you know, once these things start, they infect, one country infects another. That's how Europe is. So that's why I'm saying it looks to me, the situation looks to me similar to 1848. And that's what we might be heading towards. Now, within that, Greece is ahead and also a special case because of the depth of the crisis, and because of the rise of outright fascism, which we haven't actually seen elsewhere, except Hungary, where we do have fascism. Now, Greece is indeed at a very dangerous moment of its history. Within that broad European situation of unrest and instability, Greece is particularly profound, particularly bad. It isn't just the depth of the crisis, it isn't just the depth of the social disaster, it's also that there are no prospects of recovery that are persuasive. There's no hope, and hopelessness is always a very bad guide. So Greece is bad, yes, very bad. Things that are likely to happen will probably be quite extreme, either on the left or on the right. It will be the left and the right that will fight it out, I think, in the coming period, against the situation of social disillusionment and social frustration.
Yeah. Kostas, that's an absolutely fascinating response. And, you know, thinking back to the readings and the history of 1848, I can see how your analogy would be more apt for Greece to give a comparison of 1848. I would also like to ask you, Kostas, about your position. You've been very vocal on your belief that for Greece to have some semblance of economic recovery, it would have to exit from the euro. Is that still your position? And if you give us a short explanation, I know it's a very complicated issue, but a short explanation of why you believe that Greece leaving the euro is can help lead it to the path of economic recovery.
I would start by saying that by now it's evident that the euro has failed generally, not just in Greece. It's perfectly clear that the monetary union is the prime cause of the economic malfunctioning of Spain, of Portugal, and increasingly of other countries in Europe, Italy, and increasingly France. This monetary union that has been created by the forces of capital and by the forces of the rich in Europe has created the situation in which the working people and the poor are confronted with increasingly impossible conditions of existence, austerity, and crushed wages, and so on. It's perfectly clear. The euro works, keeping the proportions, similarly to how the old gold standard used to work, blind, automatic, and destroying the livelihood of working people. It's untenable. It cannot survive in the way in which it is formed at the moment. And my view is that it will not survive. And it isn't just Greece, it's also the other countries. Now, once again, within that, Greece is, in a sense, ahead of the pack. Yeah. Under the heaviest pressure, although Portugal and other countries are following close at the moment. In my view, Greece has got no future within the monetary union. The only future it has is a future of poverty, weak and unstable growth, migration of its young people to find employment abroad, a troubled, unequal, and impoverished society. It needs to make a break. It would have been a lot easier 3 years ago because its debt was smaller, the economy was not destroyed, it had bargaining chips. But the ruling elite in Greece chose to keep the country in at enormous cost and without really solving the problem of the crisis. So the issue is still there. Greece must get out, in my view. And in all probability, Greece will get out. Unfortunately, it looks as if it's going to get out at the end of some kind of blind crisis. Even so, the left or some progressive forces will have to pick up the pieces and start putting the economy back on its feet. They will have to bring capital controls. They will have to nationalize and control the banks. They will have to do something about wages and pensions, raise them. And they would have to put in place industrial policy with the aim of increasing employment and of creating new development fields so that the real economy begins to grow again and begins to expand again to provide employment and incomes for working people and broader strata in Greece. It's perfectly feasible, and I think it really is the only option for growth in the country in the years to come.
Thanks for that response, Kostas. I just want to ask you one last question, and really it's something that we've briefly touched on, and I know you visited the factory in Thessalonica and the Viomay workers, and you know, just your views and what an inspiring example of workers occupying a factory and trying to put in place a business plan that will be productive, efficient and also profitable. And the workers, of course, have found themselves in this situation through no fault of their own. Do you want to just, in a couple of words, give your views on how inspiring the Viomay workers are and why we need to support them?
I think it's a very, very important event and a very, very important struggle. It's been going on for months. These people have been through great difficulties, and through their own efforts and through their own basic solidarity, you know, classic worker solidarity, they've managed to pull something out of the fire, basically. They managed to rescue something out of a situation that was terrible for them. And they've got to be applauded simply for that, taking charge of their own lives to a certain extent and refusing to accept defeat and destruction and unemployment and the loss of their wages, wages for a long period of time, which they haven't been paid. Now, they want to go down the path of managing the factory and showing that they've got the capacity, the know-how and the skills to do so without the employer, without the boss, basically, who has been defrauding them of their monies. That again should be applauded, because it's good for their own particular case, but it also sets an example across the country, which is facing closures and unemployment and a destruction of its productive structure. So they should be supported. They should be supported by trade unions, by trade unionists, by cooperative banks, by all associational and cooperative forces across other countries and other societies, because that's what we've got here. We've got an associational and cooperative way of dealing with crisis. And that's what we want to see. That's what we want to strengthen. And we need to support it foursquare. Now, in my view, having visited the plant and spoken to these workers, I believe that they have got the know-how and the fundamental understanding to run the business. That's not that unusual, as you know. Workers do know where they work and they do understand the business perfectly well. It's usually the bosses who want to make out that workers haven't got that knowledge. Actually, in practice, they do. So they do know how to run the business, I think. They do have a good understanding of it, but of course, they need liquid resources, they need money, and they need to begin to operate it in a way that is self-sustaining. This depends on factors and elements which are beyond them. They have to be negotiated. It depends on banks, it depends on the law, it depends on all sorts of things. But they're taking very good steps to deal with all that. They know what the difficulties are, they know what their strengths are, and they know increasingly where their friends are. And they need friends. They need friends across the board, they need friends internationally. So I'm delighted to have had the opportunity to talk to you about this, because obviously British workers and other workers across the world should support them and should show solidarity towards them.
Costas, that's an absolutely perfect point to end our web chat with you today. It only leaves me to thank you for a very illuminating and insightful conversation, as always. And we look forward to trade unionists and progressives who are watching this or listening to this in iTunes to visit the Viomay workers website and get involved and try and give liquid financial support to the workers so they can put in place a business plan. And we look forward in Union Solidarity International to speaking again with you in the future, comrade. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Many thanks, Andrew. The pleasure is all mine. I look forward to talking to you again in the future.